Hey, this is Mike C. Rock, author of Rocket Fuel, where I teach you how to use your setbacks as rocket fuel for your goals. And if you want to learn how to transform your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, significantly increasing your revenue and create scalable sales systems, you should be listening to the Authentic Persuasion Show with my good friend, Jason Cutter.
Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. What's going on, everybody? Jason here, another guest episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show. My special guest is Mike C. Rock Sirocco. Mike teaches people how to turn setbacks into capital rocket fuel, which is what we're going to talk about, especially with his energy. You're going to get it. Turn that setbacks into rocket fuel for their future. He wrote a book called Rocket Fuel, and that's coming out very soon. Help me welcome to the conversation, Mr. C. Rock. Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
What's up, Jason? Hey, man, I start every interview with gratitude. So first of all, before we get into it, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on and share. And I'm just humbled that people want to hear my voice. So thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to this.
You are welcome. I will accept that gratitude. And I appreciate you. And I also know a little bit about the journey that you're going through, especially with writing a book, because I was there. And I know what that's like. So anyone who's in that process, anyone who's got a positive message, anyone who's trying to help people in a way, to me, that feels in alignment with helping people with their purpose and getting through those setbacks, that's a home run. As soon as we got introduced, it was like, yep, C-Rock's got to come on here. We got to have some fun on the show here for sure.
Yeah. I mean, when you help yourself is one thing and you got to do that first. But when you really reach higher levels, man, is when you're helping other people and developing other people, man. So that's what I'm all about. I wake up every morning. I think I'm a people builder at heart. So yeah.
So let's talk about this. There's a lot of people who will listen to these words and or watch this conversation and think, okay, turning my setbacks into rocket fuel, is this just another dude on a stage getting me motivated and hyped up, and where there's a will, there's a way, and this is just all some positive stuff. Talk about it and explain what that rocket fuel means to you. Some background that kind of led you to this, especially relative to people out there who might be listening, thinking about their own setbacks, especially salespeople and their setbacks.
Yeah, by the way, so I was in sales since 1998. I started in-home sales. I was driving all over the place, going to homes and trying to close deals in houses and deal with building rapport, handling objections, getting thrown out of houses, trying to stick in there and hang in there to the end and closing deals. And then the next day they cancel, like all that stuff. I've dealt with all of it. And then I got into the real estate and mortgage world. But really for me, it goes back to when I was a young kid. I came from a broken home. I don't remember my parents together. And a lot of your listeners probably can relate to that, dealing with the every other weekend thing, the custody battles, child support, step parents coming in, all the different ingredients that go into dealing with parents that split up. And when I was 8 to 11, I chose to live with my dad. And that was a really impactful part of my life. I guess at that age, too, it was very impressionable. And during that time, I dealt with a lot of verbal, psychological, mental abuse, wasn't treated the right way. And I can't get into a lot of detail here. I do a little bit more into my book, but I just want to let you know that it was things like have Christmas time at my mom's house for the weekend, come back to my dad's, and the toys were taken away from me that I brought home because the other kids didn't have a Christmas time. Little things like that, words said about my mom that shouldn't have been said to me, very, very harsh words, threats about to take my life, little things just that added up to bigger things too. So I had enough when I was 11. I decided to get out of that environment. And I asked my mom to file court papers. She said, if I do, you need to stick to your guns because you can't flip-flop back and forth. You need to make sure that you understand this is what you want, if that's what you want. And you got to understand they're going to try to talk you out of it. And in life, this is a great lesson she taught me. When you have a belief in something and you know it's right and it's a belief, you need to stick to your guns. You need to be, and I took it as stubborn. And because people will try to justify their position in life or have their own agenda that they're going to try to throw on you. So I heard that. That stuck with me for 30 some years now. And when she said, like, stick to your guns, and I said, stubborn, if you look up the definition of stubborn, there's two words that pop out and get me fired up, which is perversely unyielding. I would identify myself as a perversely unyielding individual when I want something. And I think that in sales and in business and entrepreneurship, if you have something you want, you have a grand vision, a clear vision, and you're perversely unyielding towards it, you're not going to stop. You're going to get it. So taking you back to the story, my dad got these court papers served to him and I came home from school one day. And by the way, my dad was my hero. He had his own masonry business, had very successful, big forearms, rough hands from working so hard, and had a wad of $100 bills in his pocket all the time and rubber band around it. And I always looked up to him for that. He's my hero, man. And he sent me to my room. He came back to my room after I sat there for a while and he had those papers in his hand and he said, "Hey, it says here you want to move back with your mom. Is that true? Like, this is your doing?" And I'm sitting there scared to death thinking, man, holy cow, what's going to happen now? And I just shook my head, yes. And he said, "Well, they don't have it that well there. They don't have money like we have here. You got everything you need. Like, why do you want to put yourself in that position?" Basically, didn't want to get into the conversations. I just stuck to my guns, didn't argue, just said, "I've made my mind up." And he said, "Okay, if that's the case," and he takes that wad of $100 bills out of his pocket, peels one off, crumples it up, and throws it at me and said, "Well, here, you're going to need this when you're living on the streets with your mother one day." And so when that happened, the stubbornness in me kicked in. I'm like, no, there's no way I'm going to live that life where I'm going to need that money. I'll show you, kind of thing. And also I realized that my mom had always programmed me as a leader and inspirational from a young age, 3-4 years old. I remember her telling me these things and I didn't know what that was at that time, but I think it was programmed in so that everything I started to do was leading people, inspiring people. So anyway, 30 years I've been living off that fuel that my dad challenged me at that moment. And I've been like, everything I do, whether it's sports, school, work, or whatever, I've always tried to be the best because I feel like he's watching all the time. And so I don't want to let him be right with that. So 2 years ago, I had to do some self-analysis there. I went through some events and I look back on my life and I'm like, what is it that I've been driving off of? What is this thing? I need to figure this out because if I do, I can bottle it. And my graphs, if you're in sales and you're looking at your KPIs, you're looking at your numbers, your job is to get the graphs up. Your graph, if you're looking at a line graph, should always be on a slight incline. That's a good graph. And if it's not, you got problems you need to fix. Very rarely a graph goes straight up in the air or really high trajectory. At times it can, but a good graph is just gradual. And my graph has always been on a gradual incline. And I'm like, why is that the case when all the stuff that I've been through that would normally stop people, set them back ways, I just keep going and keep going up. So I found out that what I was doing is anything that came my way that would stop a normal thinking individual, a person with broken mindset, broken belief, which is most people, instead of my trunk where it would weigh me down, I was storing it in my tank where I could convert it into rocket fuel. And I say rocket fuel, Jason, because rocket fuel is the only thing I know that can get you into outer space, away from gravitational pull and suppressors and all the toxicity that we deal with. So that's where it came from. Once I became aware of that, my graph started going like this. All my social media started to blow up. My money started to blow up in a good way. Business started to blow up. Everything started going up. And so once I figured that out, I'm like, well, I got to share this with everybody because this needs to be in everybody's hands.
I love it. One question I have for you, and maybe you explore this, especially in the book, and for people, make sure you check this out. We'll mention it again at the end, but go to mikecrock.com/book to get it pre-sale or depending on when you listen to this. I know it's going to be amazing because I just know you from experiencing you. So I think it's going to be great for a lot of people. Thanks. One of the things I'm always looking for is people who have that rocket fuel, right? They have that thing that happened to them early on. Usually that person who said, no, you'll never be successful. They use that as rocket fuel, except it's kind of a toxic rocket fuel, right? It's that negative, like, I'm going to prove you wrong intention versus like, I'm going to show you I can do it. Like, how do you balance that? How do you make sure you're on the healthy side of stubborn, if you will?
Well, I don't worry about that. So first of all, I get clear on what I want in my life. I've always gotten things that I want. I can't express this to people like any differently. Now, it's not like a spoiled kid. It's I want something, I get clear on it, and then I'm laser focused and I go for it, like perversely unyielding. And that's what it's all about. So I don't worry about healthiness or if it's right or wrong. I just know that I'm ethical. I want to help people. I want to get to a certain level to be able to help more people and inspire more people and impact more people. So in order to do that, I got to find fuel. So because it's not easy, like I'll have days where I just don't feel like it, or I'll have like the weather sucks. I live in Maryland. I hate cold weather, right? So I don't feel like getting up in the morning. I do it anyway because I need to go to where I'm going. So I need fuel, right? So if you're driving down the road and your fuel light goes off and you're like, oh man, I need to find a gas station. I need some fuel, right? Because I got to get to where I'm going. And sometimes we go and try to see how many miles we have left in the tank. So you know, you ever play that game? So yep. I'm driving down the road. This is how I live my life. And I'm looking for gas stations. and I stop a gas station because I might need fuel down the road and I'm half empty here. Let me go over here and fill this up. And I'm just looking every opportunity to have. So when I see that kind of stuff, that's not the only time that's happened to me. I've had owners of companies I worked for before that told me that you'll never make it. You want to go out and start mortgage branches and start a division? You guys are going to fail, but I'll do it because I know you'll leave if I don't let you. And then I hear that and I'm like, okay, I'll show you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm doing it for that reason or what the reason is, as long as I'm using it for fuel for something good. And that's the way I view it. I don't get too caught up in the semantics of it. As long as I have a clear vision of what I'm doing and I'm ethical in the purposes.
Well, and I think that's great. And I appreciate that perspective on it. Like whatever the fuel is, like knowing the direction, what the outcome, what feels good, what's ethical, what's in alignment for you. I mean, I think that's the key. From your experience and process of writing the book and really diving into this, which I know what that's like, right? It's such a self-examination to go through that. What gets in people's way of having that rocket fuel, of identifying and using that setback or switching their mindset around that setback?
When I wake up in the morning, there's a couple of things I think about. Gratitude, obviously, is one of them. Thank God I woke up again. Thank God I have hands and feet. Some people don't have hands and feet. I do it every day because if you can imagine one day going out without a hand or without both hands or without your legs, I think about those things all the time. So I think that's the first thing is people a lot of times aren't grateful for the things they have. They worry about what they don't have. That's the first thing that blocks people. I think it's impossible to complain if you're in a state of gratitude. So people hear that all the time and it gets a lullaby effect where it goes in one ear and out the other, but I'm going to keep saying it. The other thing is clarity on what you want, making a decision and getting really clear on what you want. That's another problem people have. They don't know what they want. I'll ask 10 people and 9 of them won't know what they want if I ask them that. And they'll ask me this question. Well, how do I figure that out? I don't know. What do you want? Like if you had a magic lamp with a genie in it, what would you wish for if he said anything you want? Anything. Don't limit yourself. And then from there, I think the other issue is belief systems. Like people think that they have to see things before they believe it. I got to see it to believe it. And that's the wrong way to do it because you'll only see what you believe. So you need to start believing first. Believing in things, believing in having things with no limits. Just get really crazy with it. Be a kid again, man. Like I was telling someone yesterday, I feel like I'm a superhero. And that's the reason for that is that I'm not thinking highly of myself like that, like being cocky. It's that I'm being a kid again and going back and wanting to be a superhero as a kid and making people feel great. I want people to feel like the way my heroes made me feel. And so I think people like are scared to do that for some reason. And they're worried about what people think. And they're worried about their circle getting smaller. And that's all the issues that they're dealing with. And I think it also has to do with survival. Like they think that they're going to survive if they're around more people, when actually you will survive when you have abundance. And abundance comes from believing big things and then going after it. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm just thinking about myself as well. If you had a genie and a magic lamp, and what would you wish for? What would you do? And then using that as the direction of what your activity should be, right? If that's what you really want, if you know, say money was no object, then how can you create that and go for that? Obviously, you're a longtime seller. You didn't even mention it, but one of the things you told me when we first chatted that you were selling golf balls at like 8 years old.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. So, which is funny to think of like your sales evolution and myself. I didn't think of myself as a salesperson and kind of shied away from that versus your trajectory, which I think is awesome. Let's say from you, longtime salesperson, started in that plus in-home sales and where you're at now. Obviously, we've got a pandemic, in-home sales, everything's kind of more virtual over the phone. What do you see successful salespeople doing these days? Or what advice are you giving to them on how to be successful in sales in this current environment or in general, especially, let's say, in the framework of your rocket fuel message?
Well, I mean, I think the successful salespeople are ones that are committed, like burner ships committed to what they're doing. They have something in mind. It may not even be about selling the product that they have, but it's something bigger, like an income goal in mind or a place they want to live. They're very clear on what they want, and then they're going after it with enough action. That's the only thing that separates people from wanting something and getting it is the level of action that they take. Because even if you're doing the wrong thing, the action you're taking, sometimes you'll learn enough from the massive action that you're taking to get on the right track, or you'll draw in the right people to help you. But generally, man, sales is all about numbers. And we hear it all the time. Another thing that's like a lullaby effect, you got to be spending your time telling people who you are and what you do. And that's the main problem all businesses and salespeople have is nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows what they do. And your friends and family don't know and think about you as much as you think they do. So like you got to reach out to people that are friends, family, coworkers, past clients, just reach out to everybody you know and tell them what you do constantly. And those that do that and are obsessed with it, despite family members or friends saying, that's all you talk about, those are the ones that win. And if you look at any top salesperson, they are obsessed with their career, their path, their mission. And too many people are shut down because they're told that. You think this is all you think about. You're obsessed. Man, listen, that's the person that's saying that's a problem. They're not obsessed enough. And there's never been a top salesperson, top producer, somebody that's really super successful in business that said that to someone.
It's so true, right? The thing I always think about is who is saying that about, let's say, your big plans, right? So you're writing a book. I wrote a book. Like, it's all I'm thinking about. It's all you're thinking about, working on the business. And people are just like, what else are you doing with your time? Maybe you should take a break. It's like, what are they doing? I mean, I don't want to spend my time being obsessed about the Kardashians if I have a choice. Right? Yeah.
Well, but Jake, when I'm taking time off or relaxing, that's all I think about anyway. Like, I still want to do it. Like, I just went to Aruba recently and I'm hanging out with some friends and they're good. I like them and all that. Don't get me wrong, but I'm sitting there and I try to have conversations about some of the stuff I'm doing. They could care less. And it's like, oh, well, I don't really want to hang out with you then. I'm not into just partying and like relaxing and sitting there. I just can't do that. That's not me. And I think that's why I have the success I have, is because I'm absolutely obsessed and perversely unyielding towards my mission.
If there's one thing I know, it's that sales is full of failure. Even if you're a Hall of Fame level sales professional, you can make a great income despite losing more than you're winning. If there's one aspect of sales that most people fear and what keeps a lot of people even wanting to get into sales, it's getting hit with objections. That is why I wrote my latest book, The Sales Consultant Guide to Overcoming Objections, Yours and Theirs. This is the first in my new series of short books, guides filled with what you need for helping you improve your selling effectiveness. No fluff, no long-winded stories, no filler to make it seem more valuable, just actual foundation-building strategies to help you become aware of the true nature of why your prospects bring up objections, the different type of objections, and then specific ways to overcome them that are universal to most any sales process, product, service, or style. Go to Amazon.com today and get your copy of A Sales Consultant's Guide to Overcoming Objections. Or if you'd rather, as a gift to the listeners of this podcast, email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com and I'll send you a complimentary full version of it as my thank you for listening and supporting this show. Well, and I think for salespeople listening or sales leaders, that is so true in that lesson, because a lot of times people in our lives, especially people in salespeople's lives, are not super supportive, or they're worried for them, right? Think about a salesperson who's not hitting their numbers. They're not winning, but they're working towards it, right? They're putting in the action and they're trying to win, but they're not there yet. The people around them are just scared for them, which you always got to be careful about, because if you let that get in your head, you're going to start to be scared for yourself, which is always that tough balance, right? Of who do you share this with? Who do you trust to support you? And how do you know when somebody's being supportive of you or trying to just like keep you safe?
Well, I look at where they are currently and whatever they're talking to me about, I want to see their success in that area. If they don't have success in that area, I'm not listening to them. I'm using it as fuel. I'm going to take it. I'm not going to get discouraged by it. I'm going to chuckle a little bit and put it in my tank. And that's how I roll. So listen, when I started my podcast and the mission that I'm on, I had people closest to me trying to talk me out of it, laughing, making jokes. Why don't you go do your podcast? Why don't you give us a motivational quote? All this stuff, man. And I just, okay, well, listen, I'm on a mission, right? To help millions of people. I don't have time for someone that's going to talk like that when I'm trying to help millions of people that need help. And just think that way in my head. And when you're in sales and you have somebody saying something to you about what you're doing and they have no success in that area, dude, do not listen to them. And go to the person that knows that profession or had success and seek counsel rather than opinion. I'll hear the stuff from people. Trust me, I still hear it sometimes. But there's a thing called a hater cycle. I wrote about it in the book. People start to see things to justify their position in life. They'll try to pull you back and hammer you, right? But when they do that, they'll go through a cycle. If you keep pressing forward and you get success, it goes from a cycle like ridicule, laughing at you, or they might even hate on you for a little bit, and then they gain interest in what you're doing and they get attention on you. Like, wait a minute, what's he doing? What's he up to? Hold on a second. And then they start asking you questions and they come around and want to hang out with you. And then at the end of that, they admire you and they say, I told everybody you were going to make it. I knew it, man. I was your biggest supporter. It's called the hater cycle. You can sit there and watch it happen. By the way, this is not me just talking about myself. Anybody that's listening to this right now, you are a hater at times. I'm a hater at times. We're all a hater at times. But we're also the person that receives it. Every single one of us. So when you see this and you want something and you're going after it and you just keep going after it and make sure you're successful, just watch that cycle. It's amusing to watch. When you know about it and you're aware of it and you start to watch how it goes, it's kind of fun.
Well, and I see that all the time. And sometimes it's pure hate, like putting you down, ridiculing you for your ideas. Sometimes, again, it's just people in your life who just want to keep you safe, right? They don't want to see you fail. They don't want to see you get hurt. And they kind of doubt it and then eventually come on board. And I love your advice about identifying that cycle, being aware of it, being cautious of it, staying away from it, catching it yourself. And you know, that whole self-awareness piece is so important, which I know that you're big about.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I deal with sometimes, and I manage a large group in the mortgage industry, and I'll have some people that are off track some days and some weeks or whatever. And then some people leave, right? I'm perversely unyielding to where we're going in the mortgage industry too. Like we're going to 100 million a month in volume. We're going to go there, come hell or high water, we're getting there. And not everybody's going to be on the mission with us. Some people are going to leave because they're not going to be ready for it. It's just not what they want in their life. And that's fine. But one thing that people do, management and salespeople do, is they'll have a situation where somebody will give them a hard time, disagree with what they're saying, whatever the case is, and not buy into what their mission is or what they're trying to do. And then they will introvert. They'll stop being themselves, stop doing what they need to do to be on their mission because of other people, what they say or do, or the actions of other people. So what I do when that happens is I push harder. I lean in harder. And I'll give you an example. I expect my employees to do certain things, be engaged, show up to meetings, this and that. Well, if they're not engaged and showing up to the meetings, then they don't work here. I don't care how much volume they do or business they do. It doesn't matter. They need to be engaged in the team, because if you have a high tolerance level for someone that's not doing what they're supposed to do, you're going to get low production. And that affects other people in the organization. If you have low tolerance, you have high production, high results. And so I know that in my head. That's another law to me. So I know that when somebody's pushing back on me, I'll listen to them. I'll answer questions, find out where they're challenged. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to stop doing what I know works. And too many people will stop doing what they know works. They'll stop leading. They'll stop holding people accountable because they're worried about people leaving or saying something about them and what have you. And that's why businesses crumble and sales crumble. So the ones that keep going and build big are the ones that just keep pressing on and doing what they know is right, despite what other people are saying or thinking or.
And that's an amazing shift. I love how you just shared that, because what happens in a lot of organizations with sales teams, which is what you alluded to, is that it's more of a scarcity mindset, which is we don't want to lose our top producers. We don't want to lose anybody from the team. We got to keep everybody. And then they are making that in exchange for what they think or what they know would be the right way to go or lead the company or their culture, their mission, their visions and values. Instead, they're like, okay, let's take scarcity and production over corporate culture and our mission. They trade that instead of like, no, here's who we are. Here's what we do. You're either on the bus or you're not. If you're not on the bus, go find a different bus. We're moving forward.
Yeah. You're either on the rocket ship, not the bus.
On the rocket ship.
But here's the thing. This is how the rocket fuel concept or law works, right? Every time that we've had a setback in our business, every time we've lost somebody, every time something bad, we've always rebounded, not just where we were before, but way past it. And so when somebody leaves now, recently, we just lost 3 employees that I didn't anticipate leave. Like I just anticipate them leaving. But at the end of the day, our team has rallied. People have stepped up even more than we're stepping up before. And now we're on a mission like to just blast off further. It's just amazing to me how this works. And sometimes it's a wake up call. Sometimes it's a, hey man, you're a little complacent. You're comfortable. And matter of fact, nobody wants to be complacent. Nobody wants to live that life, but it creeps in. It's not something that pops up and announces, hey man, complacency is here. You're being complacent. Sometimes it creeps in before you know it. It's too late. And then you need a wake up call sometimes. I also think that you have to be good to go back to being just by yourself if you have to, and being comfortable with that and starting fresh. And if you're confident enough that, you know, look, I did this before. If I have to go back to being by myself and add one person at a time to build a team to the right way, I'll do that. And as soon as you make that decision and you're fine with that, dude, you don't put up with anything.
Nope. You really don't. Because then again, it's not about scarcity. It's not about I need you more than you need me. And so I'm desperate. Essentially, the prisoners are running the prison, right? If you're not careful. That's where it gets to. Versus like what you said, I'm good by myself. Either you're on this rocket ship or not. And if I got to fly it solo, I'll rebuild from scratch.
Well, I think also it's important to pay attention to the words we use, because at the end of the day, like the people that would be in my organization that I would consider like that analogy prisoners are the type of people you don't want there. I want people there that are buying into the mission, that I work with, like they don't work for me, and we're all in it together, like just going at it, going to battle. That's important to me to do that. If I ever have a situation where I feel like I'm a dominant superior, in other words, like that's not a good relationship for me to have in our organization. So I'm really careful about how I view people and how we're lifting people up and encouraging people with our organization.
I love it. I think that's a great way to go, because there's a lot of sales teams which is about control. It's about dominating. It's about micromanaging. It's about squeezing out results instead of creating this framework and then building the team with people who want to win, right? And doing that. One of the other things that you really focus on is the fact that people don't always know who they are. They're not self-aware. I mean, this is great to take a setback and turn it into rocket fuel, but there's a lot of people just kind of coasting through life and they're not even aware their limitations, what that might be. What do you see in terms of what you've done, or what advice do you have for people, or steps do you suggest for people to get on that journey, figure out who they are and what might be holding them back in the first place?
Well, you know, in the morning when you wake up, like I try to be the most valuable person I can be. And the reason I do that is that I believe in God. I don't apologize for my beliefs. It's a shame some people have to apologize for their beliefs and they don't talk about it because they're worried about what people think. And the omnipotent God, all powerful God that put us here with certain abilities, and maybe not physical, but unlimited potential in things we can accomplish, build, create. And so when I wake up in the morning, there are just several things that drive me, but that's one. If I don't go after that, I think it's like a slap in the face to my creator. The other thing is, I think it's all naive of us to think that we have any limitations when we're created by an all-powerful God. So that's what goes through my head. And the other thing is, we were on a sales meeting this morning and we were talking about things that inspire us. And a couple of my employees brought things up. One has a special needs child. One worked in a company that helps special needs children. And they were talking about like how hard it is. And then the people that work with those people, and every day they don't make a lot of money, but they get up and they go help special needs children. To get up in the morning and not go after your potential is a moral and ethical obligation, or moral and ethical issue to me. Because like some people, again, don't have the ability to see, hear, walk, talk, do anything. And here people are not going after their potential and just sitting on it, wasting it away, complaining about things. So I think if you shift your mind and you really understand what you've been given and the opportunity that you've been given, you realize that your duty for survival of yourself, the people around you, your family, is to go after it. And it's really selfish not to do that.
I completely agree. I talk about that all the time, both for the duty and responsibility that you have for your own life. And then if you're in sales, especially, and you can serve somebody through helping them with your product or service, you're also letting them down if you don't effectively persuade them, right? Like if you just hide in the shadows, hoping that they're going to buy, you've let them down as the service provider that you could be. So I think that's great. And I think that's some good tips for people: be in touch with who they are, what their purpose might be. Sometimes that's a big question that's hard for people to identify. There's also seasons in your life. Like what's the purpose of this season versus the giant overarching purpose of my life? But at least have some awareness of what that purpose and mission is for you.
If you don't know your purpose, go find someone to help, period. Like we're put here to solve problems. That's what our purpose is. I'm just going to break the news to everyone. Our purpose on this earth is to go out, figure out ways to work to solve problems. Every problem has a solution. Even if you don't can't find it, somebody has it. You got to go figure it out. Go find the person. But if you're in a situation where you can't figure out your purpose, go help someone.
I think that's great. I mean, that's also great advice I know I've heard and done for when people aren't feeling good. Anxiety, depression, go serve, go help other people, go volunteer, go do something for somebody else, and then see where that leads you.
Yep, exactly. And I think, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but a lot of anxiety and depression is caused by your potential screaming at you that you're not coming after it. It's like, come get me. I'm waiting for you. Let's go. And you're feeling that. And that's what that is. And to solve that, definitely helping people, going after it, figuring out where you can be of service, and you will start reaching for your potential in that case. But the other thing, Jason, is dream big, man. Like we got to go back to being kids, like not being limited and caged up like animals. Like I think a lot of us have our souls taken from us because we're like caged up. If you watch those animal commercials where they're all like sad and they play real sad music and they're trying to get you to donate to the animals. That's how most people are, man. But those animals have been caged up or chained up and they look like their soul's been taken from them because they can't go after their dreams and potential. So let's go back to being kids again, be superheroes, be whatever the heck you want and live that life every day. Just go towards that. If you're not there yet, just go towards it. And it's a wonderful thing when you start seeing the results from it.
That's awesome. What keeps people from doing that though? Let's just talk about it.
Well, they're worried about what people think. One, they've been caged up and introverted because a lot of times when people say something to you or do something to you, you start to look inside and say, wait a minute, what am I doing wrong? Like, am I doing something wrong? And it's okay to look and do a self-assessment, but most people, what they'll do is they'll look inside and they'll stop living the life and stop being themselves. They put a damper on the light, man. And the problem is that when people are doing this, remember, they're trying to justify their position in life. They're trying to justify them giving up or quitting or family member. You said it several times that they may be just concerned for you and worried for you. But that's a selfish thing for them to be. See, a lot of people think in their head that being worried about someone or concerned with someone is really about that someone. It's not about them. It's about the person that's worried or scared or whatever the case is. It's the effect on them if that goes bad. Is that what they're worried about? Let's face it. Let's be real about it. And that's a selfish way to be. So if you realize those people are, they're really being selfish, you don't have to tell them they're being selfish, but just don't take it to heart. Don't let it affect you being you. Extrovert, be out, push energy out in the world, outflow, and you'll overcome that. So that's my take on it, right or wrong. I believe I'm right.
I support it. I think that's all really, really good, positive stuff. Let's shift just a smidge here. What does it mean to you to be authentic?
Well, just what I just said. I mean, first of all, thinking about the life you want, who you want to do it with, where you want to be, who do you want around you, what kind of house do you want, thinking about all that stuff and then going like hard towards it and not let anybody else knock you off that track. And that's being authentic to me. Being that kid again and deciding something that you want as that kid with no limitations and going after it and not lying about it, not like trying to shade it at all. Just tell people what you want to do. Don't be afraid. Light it up. Like I tell people all the time, like, listen, I'm on a mission right now. I'm writing a best-selling book, right? It's not best-selling yet. When I'm writing a book, tell them I'm writing a best-selling book. If it doesn't become best-selling, that's okay, but I'm going to make it a lot further than I would have if I didn't say that. I tell people all the time, I'm going to be in a movie someday. I have no idea how to like even start that, but I'm just tell people that. They laugh at me. I'm saying, okay, I'll show you. That's more fuel. Load it into fuel. I'm starting a clothing line, Rocket Fuel Lifestyle clothing line. It's going to be sportswear, activewear, dresswear. Like, I have no idea how to even do that or even where to start. I just have the idea and I'm going to go make it real. I tell people these things all the time. That's being authentic, is telling people what I'm going to do. And I don't shy away from it. Some people say, work in silence, man, and then show them later. Nah, man. That's not being authentic.
I love it. You, as a, let's say, just lifelong salesperson, what do you think when you hear the word persuasion?
Well, here, look, so I'm very big on definitions. So when I hear something, I know what persuasion means, but I always like to look it up if I haven't seen it in a while. So I'll look up the definition real quick with it. Let's do that. All right. The action of or fact of persuading someone or of being persuaded to do or believe something. Okay. So that kind of sounds like influence to me. It also sounds like leading. So I think of persuasion as influence. I think of it as leading. I think of it as selling. I think all those words are synonymous. Now, you can do things like in the wrong way. You can lead people in the wrong way. You can persuade them in the wrong way, influence them the wrong way. So what I do with this is, this goes for my life too, like thoughts, words, actions. Are they going towards my ideal life or away from it? It makes my life real simple. It makes everybody's life real simple. If they're trying to figure out how to act and how to live their life, is it going towards your ideal life or away from it? Are you trying to help someone or are you trying to hurt someone? Are you trying to build or trying to tear down? It's very simple if you do that. It's either or. There's no in between.
That's awesome. I love it because that's both a definition, which can be taken both ways. I had this debate with a lot of people when I was writing the book, which is some people think of persuasion the same way they think manipulation. Definition of manipulation is pretty clear. Persuasion, it's open, like you just read, literally, which I love that you did that. And then it's about the intention behind it, right? Like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you shared that.
Because manipulation, it has a negative connotation in my head, but manipulate. Is it always a bad thing? Let's see. Handle or control, typically in a skillful manner, is to manipulate.
Like manipulate when you're like manipulating like clay or wood.
Now, wait a minute. So it says control or influence cleverly. So the first one, before you get to unfairly and unscrupulously, could control or influence cleverly be okay, though?
Depending on the definition of cleverly and right. Whose benefit, right?
See, yeah, when you look up definitions, man, it's like a rabbit hole, but it also helps. Helps in communication.
See Rock's dictionary research here.
You know, I learned that from my stepfather, George, who passed away. He was a great mentor in my life. And then I found Grant after he passed away a couple years ago. And Grant talks about this all the time, looking up words. If you don't know something, look it up. If you're insecure on something because you have a lack of knowledge in something, look it up. If you're reading a book and you quit on a book or you become disinterested in a book, it's because you just read something that you didn't understand. Look it up. Take that time. It makes a difference in your communication abilities.
I love it. So when you were growing up, I know that you wanted to make a difference and have a different life than what you grew up with. Was there anything in particular you wanted to be like when you were a kid growing up?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a football player and also a sports broadcaster.
Okay.
So then I went to college. I played football at Division III. I didn't have the ability to go pro because I wasn't big enough or fast enough. But for some reason, the communications part left. And I went into business or finance, which is fine. I should have kept on the communications path, though, because I realize now at 40-some years old how important communication is. And the good communication is usually the solution to every problem.
I love it. That's awesome. I mean, it really is, right? It's two people communicating and clear, concise communication, expectations, all those things help a lot. And you talked about the authenticity. You've talked about this a lot. If you had to sum it down to like one sentence, what is your definition of success?
So to me, success, basically when I had that ideal life, that clear picture, and I'm making incremental steps to it, as long as the decisions and the movement is towards that ideal life, that's success to me. So as you're going through that ideal life, you're going to have little mile markers or targets that you're supposed to hit to get there. And as long as you're hitting your targets or going towards them, then that's success. Like I have a saying, thrust is a must. And to me, you got to be moving forward fast because time is important. They say time is money. It's a commodity, right? So you got to be moving fast. And I'm always trying to jam as much as I can into little sections of time as much as I can. So I came up with that. It goes along with rocket fuel. Thrust is a must.
I love it. I see that. It's awesome. Everyone to see. I'm sure that's coming out soon.
We already have it up. We have perversely unyielding stubborn shirts out. We have it all, man.
Where can people go for that? Since you mentioned
it. You go to genrocsdesigns.com. Actually, it's on my website too. Actually, the MikeCRock.com and the has it in the store. So
I love it. And then final question here. Talking about that and your definition of success, the milestone, mile markers on the way to what that vision is for you. How does that fit with the kind of debate of the journey versus the destination? How does that fit in for you, that journey destination mode?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, like that far out thing that we're shooting for, we may never get to, man. So if that's the case, because if you do it right, you're doing it really big and exciting and making yourself just like, you can't wait to go towards it, right? It's kind of like for a kid, if there's a candy shop or a toy store at the end of this long, giant road, right? And they just can't wait to get there, carnival, whatever it is. And they're just running, man. And then they have to take a nap to rest. And then they wake up and they're like, oh, I got to get up. But there's that thing again. I got to go towards it. And they keep running. Like, that's the feeling. I never explained it that way before, but that just came to my head. So I hope you understand what I'm talking about there.
I love it. Well, and I think that's a great visual. And I think it's a great balance there with, I have this thing I'm going for. And then I'm also on the journey. And it's about that growth and that progression, like you said.
Maybe there's pieces of candy on the way, like one piece at a time or whatever. You just gotta, that's what keeps you going. I don't know.
Just make sure it's not the trail to the Wicked Witch's house. It's going to the right place, right? And that's where your definition and where you're going and your mission, instead of following the wrong road, right? With the wrong treats taking you down the wrong spiral, if you will. C-Rock, thanks for joining me here. Thanks for coming on the show. For people, make sure they check out Rocket Fuel book coming out soon, and then it'll be available everywhere. They can go to MikeCRock.com/book. When it comes out, it will be on Amazon as well. Any other good places people to find what you're doing, what you got going on?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Jason, for having me. I appreciate it, man. And you're welcome for saying thank you to me too. So Clubhouse, man. Clubhouse is a great app, and we're hosting a room every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern, called Launchpad. We had some gold medalists, world record holder people come in. We had platinum selling singers in there. We had best-selling authors. It's just amazing the crowd that we're attracting with this message. But Instagram's my favorite platform too, at Mikey Crock, M-I-K-E-Y-C-R-O-C, Mikey Crock.
And I have recently, I actually had to get my first Apple device just to get on Clubhouse because a bunch of people told me about it. And I love it. I think the access is great. The conversations are great. It's so real. You can't pretend. It's everybody, right? It's not an assistant posting for you on social media. It is those people and the conversations. Everyone is just so supportive. If you're not on Clubhouse, it's a great platform. I love it.
Yeah, come find me on there, man. Come find Jason on there. Look for the rooms that we're in. You can actually, if you follow us, you'll be able to see the rooms. It pops up on your feed. You can see the rooms we're currently in and check it out, man. It's good times.
Love it. Again, Crock, thanks for coming. Thanks for lighting the world up with rocket fuel for you and for others and just uplifting everybody, which is what this is all about.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.